Welcome to Biggest Geekass. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
And I'm Joe.
This is episode 163 of our show, and the date is Tuesday, October 31st, 2023. Happy Halloween, crackers.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
Night of spookiness.
Yes, Iron Man. Happy Halloween, and it's snowing here. Yes, it is. We were typing, and they heard us, says L, so we got to stop that.
We do. We should be ashamed.
I am very ashamed, L. I will do better in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
So I played this week. Did you?
Nope. Waiting for Saturday.
Yeah, I played this past Saturday. Our DM, Ben, he pulled a fast one on us. He told us to have our Troika characters, and when we got there, he had a Savage Worlds adventure instead. The way the game is set up, we normally do a quantum leap style.
Oh, right, right.
So we thought we were leaping back into the Troika thing, and an event happened at the base, so we couldn't. And there you go.
So how did that work out for your characters? If you didn't have your
Deal.
Easy to switch around?
Oh yeah, we keep separate character sheets. We don't do any translating. We played our Savage Worlds characters, which are set in a futuristic world, but it's also pretty low key. Like there might be psionics out there, but they're super minor. It's basically a futuristic Earth, kind of Blade Runner-esque. And we got the power went out on our base, and we went to had to hunt down with these guards we sent out, got lost, and we ended up running into a bear, which was not great because we had my character, who is a spoiled rich kid. We had Jeff's character, who was a PhD physicist, and then we had Larry's character, who was a ex-mafia guy. So I had trained some, but we ended up fighting grizzly bears.
Oh, I bet that PSP had all kinds of knowledge about fighting the bear.
Oh, we really got our butts kicked. Yeah, Larry Elliott said his character was almost killed. Jeff's character, I think, was almost killed. I don't think I got a scratch.
Oh, this is a group of that has two professors in it?
Originally it did. Now we have a professor. We have just a rich, spoiled kid. And we have a ex-mafia guy. And we came upon grizzly bears that were infected by something. I had just crazy rolls, ended up killing the grizzly bears. And then we found this stag that was infected by this, let's just say it was Deadlands Ghost Rock infused liquid that's been causing a lot of trouble in the area. And this stag and it went crazy, and we almost all got smoked by a stag. So it was pretty hardcore.
You didn't just have a plain old average garden variety grizzly bear to fight.
No.
They were hopped up on Ghost Rock or some other infection, whatever.
I don't think they originally were, but we did manage to put the hammer on them. So it was luck. The grizzly bear should have tore us to pieces, but
oh sure.
We got crazy raises on the first shot and both
shots. What's the characters? Is 13th age? Not 13th age.
No, Savage Worlds.
Savage Worlds. So are you guys novices?
No, we're seasoned. But we're also nobodies. We're regular people, right? We have no special powers, and so
you don't have any.
I can use a gun. That's about it. I mean, I'm a pilot. I have some slight combat, hand-to-hand combat training, but yeah, Patrick's got it. Ghost Rock cocaine bears, not quite, but close.
Oh, Dying Breed says Cocaine Bear 2 Stag Party.
Right on, Kyle. That's sweet, dude. That's one of my buds from Nerd Cognito, Dying Breed. He's a cool cat. L's in the house. Mac Thompson. Who else is here? Larry Elliott, Duncan, the aforementioned Patrick Demo. Duncan Bradley. Look at him showing up. That's sweet. I mentioned Mac, I think. Mac Thompson. Arn Man. I think our boy, who else? Flady is here. Darth Theic. And Martinson. Yeah,
nice little crew going on.
Nice little crew, but tonight they want to hear us talk about some sweet, scary stuff.
Right. So I'm not great with scary stuff.
I know.
I watch a scary movie and I'm usually yawning.
That's why you're perfect for this, because I really want to.
There are a few, but They're very few and far between. Of course, you know, someone walks up to me and I don't notice them and they say boo or whatever.
Right. You get a jump. Anybody can be scared that way.
But, and gaming, it's, I think it's actually easier to get me going in a game than it is in a movie.
Oh, sure. I would say for sure. I've seen you play horror type games. You get more into it. You were really into the Aliens game that one time. You did pretty well in the Dread game, even though you were playing a girl that one year. You still did really well. But before we jump into that, Halloween tonight, are you going to have a lot of trick-or-treaters? We have almost nobody in the country.
We haven't had trick-or-treaters in a while.
Dude, and you're downtown too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But they're doing a lot of that trunk-or-treat thing.
Yeah. One of our local game stores nearby did a trunk-or-treat, and there's one out by the lake, and yeah, that's kind of cool. I guess. I don't know. I remember doing Halloween going out. The part of the fun was going out to the houses.
Right, right, right.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a different time.
It is a different time, yeah. I'm going to check Rumble finally. Nobody's there, though it says four watching.
Good old diseases got people scared.
Yeah, yeah. That's sad, but it did.
Yeah. I did get some candy, though.
Oh, cool.
A couple of my customers, so I got a little Ziploc baggie of candy. I usually just give it to my wife because she's more into the candy than I am.
Yeah, Patrick Demo says he would if he weren't at work. He actually gives out full-size candy bars. Right on, dude. And he's where I used to live.
Hey, not the fun size?
No, he does the full size.
They're fun.
No, but full size are fun.
Or share size. There's that, they call it that, too.
Mac Thompson says he always does, but it snowed and wind chill has it in the single digits. Whoa. Kind of kill. Yeah, it's pretty chilly here where we're at. It's not single digits, probably low 40s.
30-ish.
Mr. Boivin, welcome. He just rolled in. Happy Halloween to you and everyone out
Hello,
there.
Hello, Mr. Max. Fun. We did have some flurries and a little bit of sleet, but it didn't accumulate. It only lasted a little while. So,
yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah. So, you didn't get any gaming in at all, huh? This weekend's going to be different, God willing.
Yes.
We're going to game our butts off Saturday, hopefully for 8 hours. So those folks that are playing in my game this weekend, a couple are in the chat, Larry Elliott and Martinson. We're just going to go with the old OSE characters. So
Larry Elliott says that he bought candy, then did not turn on the lights, you know, porch lights.
Yeah.
And probably the downstairs lights. I guess I'll have to eat it all up. Dang my luck.
That's funny. Oh, well, got to do what you got to do. All right. Anything else cool this week you want to talk about gaming-wise? Anything happen fun or non-gaming-wise?
Not really.
Okay.
I think we should just move right along into Mr. Segment 1. Well, we can talk about it here. We've watched a couple of movies. One, I'm trying to remember the name of it. We watched it fairly recently. I don't think you were at our house when
probably not.
My wife mentioned it to somebody. Can't remember the name of it. It'll come to me while we're talking about this.
Okay.
Maybe not the name, but how it works.
Right. Okay. I'm like, give me a second here. My cat's driving me nuts. Let her out.
It is definitely your cat. Right. So we did watch Cocaine Bear. That's not really scary. We watched Old, M. Night Shyamalan. It's not particularly scary, but it's a little bit, has that twist, maybe a little bit disturbing when you get to the twist and what's really going on. It's a bit, I would say it's a bit topical. It's topical from a kind of a fantastic point of view for our current times. That's really not the one either. I'll think of it once me and Randy get into the scary stuff. But he's right with Alien the RPG. That was pretty cool. According to Ironcaster, Cocaine Bear has to be better than Cocaine Shark. Probably. I know my wife would like it better because she doesn't like sharks very much. Well, she's scared of them. She probably likes them because she likes all the animals. But
right. I love sharks. Sharks are really cool. I'm a big Jaws fan. Jaws is one of my favorite movies of all time. All right, man. Shall we get into it then? Oh, Why, Max?
Mr. Max asks, M. Night still does movies? Yeah. Actually, he's had a few pretty recent ones. Glass was M. Night. I mean, it's been a year or two, right? The movie Glass.
Yeah. I enjoyed the crap out of Glass.
And the movie Old, O-L-D, which is on Amazon.
Didn't like that one.
You didn't like that one?
Thought that was weak.
Well, I think it's one of his weak ones. It's a better one.
It's really?
It's better. I thought it was a lot better than The Happening, for sure.
Oh, well, that didn't take much.
Yeah, it's a low
nothing,
bar.
Nothing happened on that one. I didn't, and everybody talks a lot about Lady in the Water. I remember seeing that once and not caring about it.
So for me, I set my expectations a little lower. The movie wasn't supposed to be scary. It wasn't supposed to be science fiction or anything like that.
That's a cool one.
At the Cabin.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah.
Is that the, I might be. Is that the one where you got that family that they're in their cabin in the woods, sort of, and this group of people come up to them and kind of barge in and.
Well, they tell them you have to sacrifice. One of you guys have to sacrifice yourselves, or the world's coming to an end in so much time.
Right. And they're trying to convince them. The whole movie is them trying to convince them that it's the case, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen previews for that, but I. So, yeah. Yeah, Bautista is in it. Man, you don't know how ginormous he is until he's next to regular people.
He's not a regular people.
No, he's not. Not at all.
He's a professional. He's a professional wrestler. I mean, dude's huge.
Hey, Hungar.
Oh, yeah. What's up, man? Iron Man said he saw Knockers at the Cabin. Not very scary at all. Okay.
No, that sounds scary.
No, that's not the one. Yeah. Looks like Ironcaster's going to be running some old school essentials this weekend, too. So that's cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into the first segment. Why don't we? So a lot of people this time of year do the scary stuff. And, I thought I would oblige, and Biggest Geekus could do it as well. I want to talk about fear and horror in RPGs. And
yes.
Joe kind of alluded to how he's not. And I guess the question is this, there's different types, right? I mean, you can list off a bunch of games. D&D has Ravenloft. I don't consider that very scary at all, just because you end up having magic swords and shields, and eventually it's not as scary. But there are things that happen in Ravenloft mechanically. We'll get to that in a minute.
Are we talking the module, old school module, or Domains of Dread?
You could do both.
Same thing?
You could do both.
Yeah.
Call of Cthulhu is classic. I've never really played that game, so I don't have much to say about Call of Cthulhu. No, that's a lie. I did play Call of Cthulhu one time at Cabin Con. It was set in the 20s. We were gangsters, and that was actually pretty good. Our buddy Jason ran that game, and it was actually, it managed to pull off a little bit of fear. Go ahead. Yeah.
I've not played Call of Cthulhu either, but I've read it. As well as
That's different.
It's called The Call of Cthulhu. And yeah. I have, with my wife, read a bunch of Lovecraftian stuff and listened to some audio versions. And while scared isn't the right word, it's a little mind-bending and distressing, perhaps.
Yep.
When you think about the situation that's happening in the story.
Sure.
And every time there is a pseudo Lovecraftian monster in the games that we play, it's always all tentacles and eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, we're about to get completely shredded here, because it usually happens.
It does.
I mean, the premiere from old school days, Cthulhu-type monster was, there were two of them. There was the Shambling Mound. What's the one that's basically just a bunch of eyeballs?
Well, there was the Gibbering Mouther, had mouths and eyes. Right,
the mouths and eyes, that's what I'm thinking of.
That can drive you crazy.
Yeah, And then there's Jewyblex.
Yeah, he was a demon lord.
Yeah, so fungus. Scary on two levels. It looks Cthulhu-ish and is a demon lord. So,
well, in D&D, that brings up the question too. Can you can scare the character? Should you even try to scare the player? I don't know. Can you scare the player? I mean, I was going to say this too. I kind of agree. A tentacle monster TPK different from a dragon TPK? Maybe not.
Maybe not. But that's the thing about D&D. You don't necessarily have to have the tentacle horror to get scared. You throw a dragon down, you're like, holy crap, we're going to get stomped.
Yeah, so a lot of that fear is fear of just death.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's other fear, like I was going to say, our friend Jason, when he ran Call of Cthulhu, me and Larry Elliott were playing in it. We were these gangster guys. We were checking on this. We end up going to this house looking for a guy that's been... We're supposed to get him because he took off with something he wasn't supposed to. And we get in there, and this whole apartment complex is full of super weirdo people. What's our man say?
Our man is saying the Mind Flayer reminded me of Cthulhu. Yes,
definitely. Sure does. Yeah. Mr. Bob Van made a good point, too. He said, I don't think Lovecraft is supposed to be scary to Christians. I think he means Christians. Right. Cosmic horror is a lot about the emptiness of the universe, the unknown, and the meaningless of existence. Yeah.
Correct.
But I think you can, if you accept that as a possibility when you're reading it, you can get a little scared, I guess. You can scare the players with that element. Oh, yeah. David Gwill says the unknown. That's true.
Yeah. You sure can. You can just tell them there's weird sounds happening around them or anything like that.
Yeah, often like if they're walking in the dark, you know, they're outside and it goes crunch, crunch, crust because you have dead leaves, and then all of a sudden it goes squish. That can be a little scary, I guess. But I think you also, as a player, you have to get your mind for it, right? I mean, if you want to have a good time in a game that's horror, you need to accept the presuppositions. And I think the best games that do that are when you play people that are truly vulnerable. I don't think D&D does it well, because I think your characters are kind of super heroic, right?
Even if you're not necessarily tough enough to defeat the monster in front of you, for sure, you have tools, you have things you can do. And whereas we here in the real world, if a gibbering mouther plopped down in front of half a dozen of us, we would probably all be so scared we couldn't move, or it would chase us down. We don't have
tools.
We don't have the tools normally to defeat these kind of guys. Yeah, unless we have our guns nearby.
Yeah, if you're playing a 56-year-old community college math teacher and you end up facing off against a bunch of zombies, yeah, that's going to be scary. And I think a good element of fear has to come from your character being in danger in some way. Mm-hmm. I think games like, I don't know about Vampire. Darth had a good statement a while back. Let me find it here. Oh, Darth Theek says, Vampire is about personal horror and dealing with losing your humanity. I get that's what they say, but I've never played a game where I've actually even remotely thought about that too much. But then again, I've only played a handful of Vampire games, to be fair.
What was that one again?
He said it was supposed Vampire? To be about... What's that?
I'm trying to find the...
Darth statement. Here it is. Sorry, put it up again. Vampire is about personal.
Oh, yeah.
And dealing with losing your humanity. I mean, I agree.
Okay, it is. So this is how theoretically I tend to handle stuff like that. Yeah. The DM says, hey, you've just become a vampire. You feel bad about losing your humanity. I'm like, okay, whatever. What dice do I need to roll? I can think about it, but I'm really not going to emo about it. That's the problem with Vampire.
Well, is it Vampire? So do you think, like, let's a couple others, like Alien the RPG, you got into that.
Yes.
Call of Cthulhu, I don't know. Ravenloft, you got into. You played Dread that one time when Martinson ran Dread.
Yes.
We were the kids at a lake, and there was a Jason-type dude coming to get us. You got into that. The Deadlands, you like that. So is there something about that kind of horror and Vampire that you just can't really care about if it's all up here and your character's melon?
There's that, and then there's the thing that your character has equipment in those games. In Alien the RPG that we played, we had our clothes, and maybe some, we had to find gear. We accidentally were able to find a gun rack with one gun that helped a little bit.
Yep.
In Dread, No, we didn't have anything except for the clothes on our backs.
I think a kitchen knife, but nobody, you know, there were no 17-year-olds in the house. That we were playing teenagers, juniors and seniors. So I was actually playing a D&D nerd, I believe. Wasn't I playing the D&D nerd, or was that Patrick?
I can't remember.
One of us played the D&D nerd. Our character sheet actually had the monster manual and DM guide on the sheet, which is kind of funny. Mr. Blaubanton, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll just start it. Do your thing.
I was just going to say, and I lost my train of thought. You go.
Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to mess you up there, Joe. Mr. Boivin says this: if you can have your players see themselves in the horrific action of the bad guys, you can instill a deep fear in them that will change them. I don't know if I would be changed by it. Change them as change their character, or change them as in change.
Maybe just get some reactions out of them.
Yeah, I think you could do that. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the Dread or Alien the RPG or Call of Cthulhu. These are normal people. So when you're playing normal people, for the most part, these are normal people. I know Call of Cthulhu, depending on what version, you can open the bad books and use them, which is a bad idea.
It's foolish, but you'll pay foolish for it.
So the tension, you can use the tension, because I have a character here that, you know, is one foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peel, in essence, when there's any monsters around. And you can feel the tension and think about it as fear, but to me, it's just tension. So you've got your character who's about to die, who has really no defenses except for his 2 feet to run away, and then you feel some tension. You can be a little bit nervous, and you're like, man, my character's going to die. We're 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
But you can have the same, you can have similar tension in our regular games with powerful monsters or scary monsters. But you have more tools to deal with it. You can still have your character crap his pants and run off.
Yes. Like Dying Breed says, the players have to be invested on some level. And I think a game like Vampire, and I'm going to be fair with Joe, it doesn't really draw me in much. It doesn't draw Joe in. So we're not going to, most of the time, we're not going to be one of those players you're going to want at a vampire table. We're just not those guys.
Don't want to be the monster.
Well, I also don't want to be thinking introspectively all the time. Though Boivin follows up with his comment. He says, Mr. Boivin, I mean, you see a bad guy doing something really horrific actions, but you can understand the motivation. And ask yourself if you would do the same. Right. So you finally hunt down the pedophile, and your NPC friend who hates them decides to beat them to death with a crowbar.
Right.
And you describing as, you know, crushing his head and all that stuff. And you might say, I could see why he would want to do that. But the guy was supposed to go to jail.
It's still a Cthulhu type environment.
Yep.
Or horrific environment. And you've got the bad guy has kidnapped a bunch of, say, teenagers. And you finally find him. And he's got all of these kidnapped teenagers in a magic circle. And he's performing a ritual to stop some horrific evil from coming in, but he's still doing bad things to do it.
Right.
So
I have to sacrifice
doing that.
I have to sacrifice this old man for the good of everybody.
So, but what really, really is happening is this dude has been tricked, and the very ritual he's doing is going to bring in the doom instead of stave it off, because that's how Cthulhu works, or those sorts of horror stories.
Yeah. So I think trying to engender fear in the players, to me, it's a lost cause. I think the players have to accept this game. If players sit down to play Aliens with me, they have to accept, look, here's how it's going to be. You guys are normal people. Should you encounter these creatures, the aliens, you're not going to be like Billy Badass. Well, you can act like it, but I'm telling you, mechanically, it won't go well for you. But that's the other side. Using mechanics, I think Diane Breed mentioned that. He said, he was talking to Elle, but he said, yes, you can simulate fear mechanically, fear of a loss of character or levels, which can be scary in D&D. But real fear, I think, is very hard. I don't even know if I want to. I don't really want to, quote unquote, super scare my characters.
Yeah, don't want to put actual fear in them. It's more of a tension thing. And then you buy into it, have your character behave like they're scared, But yeah. I think it's more of a tension thing than a fear thing. You don't want to really scare the people at the table unless you're a dickhead.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to really scare them. I think it's funny that like games like Alien had that. What was that? Wasn't called a horror check. It was a fear check, and it cascaded. Remember that? And it got silly after a while.
Yeah, that's true. It did.
Yeah.
I will caveat that we tell each other scary stories on purpose.
Yes.
To bring up a scare, kind of a fear type tension. Mm-hmm. And we all enjoy that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I have done some adventures where I don't remember what it was. It wasn't Halloween. It should have been. I ran a Deadlands game and you guys did really good investigating and you thought you'd figured out who the bad guy was. And it ended up being this little girl who had the spirit of an ancient evil witch in her. And you guys, when you saw her doing the final bad thing, you were like, you guys were literally horrified. I could see it on your face. You're like, what? It's little Sally? I'm like, yep. And you guys were like, I mean, so that's kind of cool. I mean, that's kind of a neat thing to happen at the table. You guys can enjoy that shock. I think surprise is sort of the key. And I think David Gwill was saying that.
Well, and then there's Halloween and there's all kinds of haunted house attractions people go to get scared. And I laugh the whole time. I get behind the person that I'm going with, like my wife. And I get to watch everybody get scared and laugh at them, but they're scared and then they laugh. They're scared and then they laugh and they keep going. They're like, oh, that was so scary. That was awesome. Ah, and they keep going. So I guess on some level, some people like to get scared in that way.
Yeah.
But it's still artificial on some level because you know that the haunted house is fake, but you still let yourself get jump scared. So that kind of getting scared is fine.
Yeah, I've done that. I've haunted houses. I'm the opposite. I do get a little nervous. Like I'm not scared would be a strong word, but I the anticipation of the jumping out at me or something happening makes me a little on edge. And so what I like to do, I'm the opposite. I like to be in front, and I just take the rooms on like a bull in a china shop. I just walk right in. I'm like, I look like I'm fearless, but I'm not. I'm like, come on, go ahead, scare me. I know it's coming. Do it. You know, jump out and do that. Mac Thompson makes a good comment earlier on, and I think he's got something to it. He said, I think the two most important things in horror games are one, set the mood. Yep. Describe the scenes. And two, a lot of role play, travel, research, interact with the environment. I think that's all you can do in a really good horror game. If it's, you have action horror games like Alien, but a lot of times, even in those games, you don't really feel that scared. If you got a big, like if you play the Marines and Aliens, yeah, you're scared, but if you got your pulse rifle, you're like,
if you're a bunch of researchers and an alien pops up, then you can simulate that and holy crap, I better run, which is how I behaved with that. She was kind of the leader. The character I play was the leader of the group. And as soon as it looked like something was going down, I was like, oh, let's get moving and let's not stand still. Let's get out of here.
So, I shortchanged Mac. So he made that comment about setting up lots of role play interaction. And he's got a few more follow-ups, occasionally interrupted by terrifying events and monsters, especially during a funny scene. That's a great time to bring the horror. Everybody's laughing. Then all of a sudden, something crazy happens.
Right.
He said if it's a constant, steady stream of horror, they get desensitized. Yes.
There has to be some ups and downs, right? Different things going on.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's hard for some to run Ravenloft. Timing is the key. Yep, it is. I still don't think Ravenloft is that scary because of the power. Yeah. Sorry about that, Mac. Yeah, finish your thoughts. I think also Dying Breed made a good comment. He was talking toward Mac. He says, horror works best when juxtaposed with the normal. I agree. And that's why I think the best horror games are when your characters aren't that imposing in and of themselves.
Right. Right. Because if it's just a really tough monster, you're still, I mean, if you're playing mid to high level D&D characters or the equivalent, even tough monsters, they provide some tension and your character might die, but it's not the same thing as a horror movie. You almost have to, like you said, like some other folks have said, you got to be the normal guys.
Yeah.
you might have a gun.
Yep. But if it's the unknown, you don't know what's coming, you may not be that confident. Even as a player, if you're in Call of Cthulhu, are you that confident if you got a 38? I'm not.
Not necessarily. Here's the thing. In most horror movies, guns don't work very well. I don't know if that's because the people who make them don't like guns, or they're just trying to make it more scary or whatever, but who knows? You put a high-powered weapon up to some zombies, you're going to rip them to shreds, and they're going to be mush. But if it's more of like a spectery type thing, then yeah, your guns aren't going to be working because they're not physical.
Yeah, I think most of the horror and fear effects that you want to elicit have to be with the player characters and to some lesser extent, the players themselves. Mr. Blavan makes a good point. He says, horror often comes with a feeling of powerlessness. It's hard to do in RPGs without taking away too much player agency. It is, because if you say, well, you're completely powerless, the monster grabs you, slams you against the wall, and pulls your entrails out. And you never get to roll. You never get a chance to try to, I'm going to duck behind the table where he threw me and see if I can knock the table over and give me a second to get out the door.
No, or actually worse, your character has to witness that and not be able to do anything. So the DM, GM, whatever, has to monologue a little bit and say, there's this dude walking across the street, but this vampire runs across and picks him up and rips his head off and drinks his blood out of his neck like a Coke can.
Or
you guys have absolutely nothing you can do about it. So you might want to describe it a little better, but yeah.
Well, even better, you just had an interaction with the shopkeep. He was a funny, jovial guy. You guys kind of locked him. You stopped in at a 7-Eleven. You're heading to the lake. And then all of a sudden, maybe something like he drinks the water, and all of a sudden he starts puking up blood, and skin starts bubbling, and you're like, oh my God, the guy you just got to kind of say, oh, I kind of like that NPC. Then you kill him, right? And there's nothing you guys can do.
Right.
Yeah.
But the best way to handle the player agency, I think, in these games is to make them normal people.
Yeah.
And they have a lot less, say so in things when you have no talents and powers and spells and a backpack full of weapons and duct tape and all this stuff. So you can be crafty as a player in these sorts of settings and try to work it and say, well, I'm a normal guy and things are going down. There's got to be something around here I can use. And then the DM says, well, not really. And then you're like, that can also be kind of scary.
Yeah. I think to scare the players, though, especially in a D&D style game, the best you can do is hit the players where they hurt. People have mentioned things like character level loss. I would say ability drain. That really sucks if you lose 2 points on strength permanently. Some monsters, I remember most recently in third, but I think even in fifth too. Oh, hold on.
What about aging?
I had to sneeze like a crazy person. Sorry.
The
ghost, 10 to 40 years, I believe, in first edition. Just for seeing him.
His dice in his hand, you're like, 10 to 40 years? You're like, oh, no.
Yeah, I think that's usually in those sort of games you have to do that. I think the mechanical type is pretty hard to really emulate fear. It's just frustration. And is it fear? Yeah, I guess it's some sort of fear, but it's not like horror fear. You're like, oh, crap. Now I'm third level again.
And like someone put in here, there's some buy-in. Someone said in the chat, there's buy-in. So whether you just go with the tension that I'll say that most of us probably feel in the game when there's a serious situation for our characters, there's a bit of tension, right? Yeah. Then you can, as a player, translate that into a little bit of fear, buy into it some, and it might be more enjoyable for you, or you can behave scared, and maybe the players around you will get more into it too, and it might be better for everybody.
Well, Patrick, Demo says this, and I agree. To properly get a horror atmosphere in a standard fantasy RPG, I think in any RPG, all the players have to want it. I mean, if someone's goofing off and constantly making stupid jokes during the most, horrific things, it just doesn't. It loses some of its, oomph.
Right, because I know with Aliens, if we play Aliens RPG, we're going to want to say some of the quotes, right?
Yeah, but
if you do that too much, it will kind of reduce the whole atmosphere of horror that they're trying to build up.
But if you have like Marines, or even if you're playing a tougher guy, it's okay to have a dude. It's okay to be brave. You can have a brave character, but he also can be one of the first ones to die. That was kind of funny. Not that it was a bit of a horror in that Savage Worlds game this weekend when that stag showed up and he was covered in all that ghost rock running through his veins. And my character's overconfident. So I was like, it's a freaking deer. I'm going to kill it.
Oh, sure.
You know, and yeah, not so much. It was much harder.
Well, you killed the grizzly bear. You should be able to take out a deer.
Well, you think I'd kill everything with that kind of that kind of shooting. Mr. Boivin said, I don't know what Lynch-type horror can work in RPGs, what Lynch he's talking about.
He's a horror movie director.
Oh.
Play with the uncanny
and the slightly strange. It works better than the gory body horror stuff. Yeah, because one dead character is another dead character to a lot of D&D. David Lynch. Thanks, Mac. Yeah, David Lynch. I don't know. I've probably seen some of the stuff.
Probably have. I just can't I can't name any of them.
Now, you mentioned a little bit. So horror that we see in other media, you said haunted houses, movies and stuff. They're hard to duplicate at that feeling at a in an RPG. I mean, it can be. Oh, Diane Breed saying Twin Peaks, Blue Velvet. I've not seen either one of them, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They're not my cup of tea. So, but yeah. What experiences have you had that were good and bad? I think you mentioned some. Have you mentioned some that you've had that you thought were good and some that you thought were bad? Any that you thought were good?
Bad is mostly horror movies. Okay. Especially the worst is the shaky cam horror movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paranormal Activity. Any of those movies, they're so boring.
Really? See, I kind of like those.
Yeah, my wife does too. She thinks they're scary, scary, scary. I look at them and I'm like, okay, nothing's happening.
Enjoyed them, but yeah, I wouldn't call them scary, scary, scary.
Right.
Our man made a good, this is a good idea. Look at this. See if I can get this up here. He said, I think isolating the players apart from each other might work well.
Yes.
At least the characters. That would, even in D&D, that'll make you nervous. If you're a wizard, now you're all of a sudden walking the dungeon alone. Things are a little scarier and all you got your three or four spells. And no beefy fighter to block somebody with. You see three orcs, you're thinking a different story now, not as cocky.
Yeah, the lower the level.
Mm-hmm.
Separate the caster away from the rest of the party. Yeah. That's scary. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, like most of my experiences at horror at the table have been pretty good. To be fair, I haven't had a lot of DMs that purposely tried to make games horrific. I have myself, and I've had successes and failures to different degrees. Right. I do like using Deadlands and Aliens. Those are kind of my two go-to because I get to have a little bit of horror and a little bit of action. So, it keeps me from, you know, having to do too much trying to, you know, make it super scary. Cause I think Deadlands and Aliens have scenes that are easy to describe. So that'll kind of do that. Boy Van's talking about, I think Lynch, you'll watch Lost Hallway. You'll be scared, but have no idea why. Lost Highway. There's nothing really scary. Can't put your finger on it, but you'll feel it. Or at least he did. Huh? Yeah. Never seen it. Do you think fear and horror checks and fear checks, do you think they can ruin like a high fantasy game? I think sometimes they can.
It depends. So it depends on what the fear effect is specifically. Yeah. If it's just a penalty on your attack rolls, that's one thing. If it makes you run off, it can ruin it if you run off and you spend that whole fight running away and then running back once the fear goes away, unless it's a long duration, and then you're just out of the fight until whenever, and then maybe the rest of the adventure is locating your scared character because you're running around scared, you don't know where you're going, especially if it's in a dungeon.
I've always thought at high levels it got a little ridiculous. I can't imagine being a 13th level fighter. I have my own domain, I rule a kingdom, I've done all these adventures, and all of a sudden our group runs into the challenge of a great worm, right? I get that it's scary, sort of, but I've seen things, you know, no other man ever has. Why would I not
your character, right?
My character, yeah. That's what
okay.
I'm saying.
So
and I've been a heroic guy all along, and now I'm running in fear. That's always kind of weirded me out.
Well, the fear effect of dragons, you can look at that a couple of ways. You can say that that is in D&D, that is just their reputation and appearance that makes you scared, or it's a magical fear effect that they have some sort of fear aura that exudes from them in some sort of mystical, supernatural way. And so, yeah, you've seen a lot of crap as a high level fighter, but this is a magical effect that you have to resist, or depending on what version of it is, you have to have enough hit dice. So that can be simulated with a certain level fighter where it only, I think there's a graduated effect. If you're under a certain amount of hit dice, you just paralyzed. A particular other set of hit dice, you run another, and then there's a maximum, and then it doesn't affect you. So that's how that works. That's how that would work fine with what you just said.
Yeah.
But Chuck, if it's just a saving throw,
yeah,
no matter what level you are, it's probably not great.
Yeah. Tunk and Todd and Flady are heading out. You guys take care. Just wanted to say goodbye to you. Green Apple's got a good question. I'm not sure I can answer it. Are there any good gothic horror RPGs out there?
I don't know what the difference between horror and gothic horror is, really.
Well, I know that Rippers is a setting for Savage Worlds. I often play it with a little bit of horror elements to that game.
And that's the old Hammer film type of setting where you're with Rippers. The old vampire, you know, Dracula versus the werewolf.
Yeah.
Type setting.
You play a group called the Rippers and you fight the things that go bump in the night.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you could even liken it to the Van Helsing movie from not long ago. If you know what I'm talking about, Randy. The Van Helsing movie?
Yes, yes, with the Wolverine guy.
Wolverine actor. Yeah, so yeah, that would be, I would say it maybe has a gothic.
Max says gothic is a literary time period.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That helps a little bit, but
it does, yeah.
I don't know when that, 1700s. Someone says like early 1800s, 1618. So that's kind of around there.
Yeah, that's pretty close to Rippers, yeah.
So the Van Helsing movie is kind of like that, has a feel. I think it doesn't, it's not really scary though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has a gothic feel, but it's not horror.
I think even Rippers, you have to try hard because you guys learn, you get all these cool gadgets
and
different abilities. And sometimes it's like, it doesn't seem very scary. I mean,
Hugh Jackman.
Yes. That was the dude.
Oh, yeah, Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
Those are more examples. Gothic. Yeah. Although there's a lot of comedy in it, but it is juxtaposed against the horror.
Dying Breed is telling Green Apple, chill is what he wants. The game, chill, RPG, straight up hammer horror. Okay. And you play regular folks in that game.
Oh, I'm sure. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I think depending on what you want at your table, though, I do think horror can ruin the mood. I mean, there's been a lot of D&D campaigns where I would never, when I was running classic D&D, that I would never take characters to Ravenloft because it just doesn't fit what they were up to. Other times I thought, oh, these characters could benefit from a little trip to them through the mists. So
yeah. Depending on level, because at some level vampires aren't scary anymore.
Yeah, and there's things you can do. I mean, but
depending on the version and the particular vampire, because they have
if you're 8th or 9th level characters, you got a bunch of magic weapons. You're not scared of werewolves and vampires.
Yeah, and a cleric.
Yeah, and a cleric. What are you scared of?
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
You're going to just make that vampire run off. Unless you give him something special, kind of turn resistance or something.
Charlotte brings up All Flesh Must. Charlotte Williams, welcome. I think she just rolled in. All Flesh Must Be Eaten is a good RPG for more modern horror. You could tweak it to make it gothic. Isn't All Flesh kind of a zombie game? It sounds like a zombie game. I think I played it once.
Yeah, isn't All Flesh Must Be Eaten? Isn't that Red Room? That's the Red Room.
No. You're thinking of the wretched. No.
I'm thinking wretched flesh.
Yeah. All flesh must be eaten is a. It's been around for a while. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is it one of the in the vampire World of Darkness line?
Mm-hmm. No.
Because that's just a separate company from them too.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'm not. I'm obviously not familiar with that game.
Yeah, we played it once with the. Remember the guy Henry that used to come to Cabin Con? He ran it once.
Yeah. Who did?
Henry that used to come to. You probably don't remember him, but anyway, he used to come to the game sometimes, and he ran that. Patrick says Shiver. He ran that once. That was the Shiver was a game he ran. The one I was sick at that Cabin Con. Remember, I took like three naps on Friday. That's when I brought COVID to everybody. It was pretty sweet.
Yay. And those pills.
What's that?
Those pills that change your taste buds.
Oh, yeah.
Those were no good.
Yep. Oh, man. So do you like horror? Do you like it to be a part of the game? Do you like it to be a significant part of the game?
A normal RPG?
Whatever you're playing. Would you like, if I'm playing D&D?
It depends. So if I'm just playing a regular fantasy RPG, a little bit is cool. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's, you know, it's a different kind of attention, right? You have some monsters that are scary. They're bringing you one kind of attention. Then you have throwing a ghost, and you know that if you don't take care of it really quick, you're going to age 100 years and fall into a pile of dust. So it all depends on what you're trying to accomplish.
Do you think you could play a game like All Flesh Must Be Eaten, a horror game where you're a human person, a regular person? Could you play it in a campaign, or would you enjoy that, like 6-8 months of that sort of game?
I'm not sure. I'd have to play that long to figure that out.
Okay. So you just
I've not been in too long of a horror game. It's great for one-offs, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's hard for me to get into role-playing games that don't have a lot of action. So that's why if I'm going to have a horror element, I lean toward Aliens or Deadlands. Dying Breed says he likes horror to be a part of his fantasy game. Arn Man says, this is interesting, horror-specific large group board games do a good job, not RPGs, though. I don't know, not played a lot. So, and L says most horror in games are just silly gimmicks. Okay.
Could be
for you. That's the case. I don't know. I think not everybody, like L particular, maybe is not into it. I get it. You play D&D for escapism, or you play RPGs for escapism, and maybe the escapism you want is to be the hero.
Right.
In most horror games, you can't really be the classic hero. Now you can be the hero that gives his life up for other people, which I don't mind doing that. That's a cool way to have a PC go out, sacrifice for the team, or rush the vampire and knock him into a fiery furnace.
Oh, sure.
And you hold him in there. That would be cool. So, yeah.
Sure. Horrific events can be part of your RPG, but D&D really isn't designed to deliver that.
Right.
At least not once you get past a certain level. Your characters might be all horrified going through first, second, third level or so. But once you get a few levels under your belt, the things that used to be horrifying aren't horrifying anymore, because you can just stick your sword in its face.
Yep.
Like you're saying, you got characters have tools to overcome those things. And it's not D&D is not a horror game at its base. If you want horror, you play a horror game. I think it'd be a lot easier, because most of them are designed like a Call of Cthulhu or Dread. That's what they're there for. Even Deadlands in your list here, it has ghosts and goblins and stuff like that mixed into the old West, but it's still not supposed to be scary. Not really, because your characters still have things they can do that are they're tough. Your characters are still tough.
Yes, absolutely. I may have gone through all the questions. Do you have any other comments on horror? That was pretty short.
We're almost at the 1 hour mark.
Okay. I'm going to tell them to do the things, Joe.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Hit that subscribe button, the thumbs up, the bell notifications, so you can know when we are live here on YouTube. Also, if you are over at Rumble, have we been spraking with the Rumblers? Do we have anybody over there?
No, we don't. We have since we have four watching, but
so we have some lurkers.
And that's cool. We like
that's them good. You people in Rumble, you can lurk all you like. Gotcha. But yeah, do the same things over there in Rumble. Hit that bell notification, thumbs up, follow us, do all those things. That's great. Help those algorithms work for us.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The second segment is connected to this a little bit. And this is more about what you like to do. What geeky things, when it's the Halloween season, is there any geeky things you like to do that are kind of spooky? Do you have, like, some people run a, I think Iron Man mentioned he has a special Halloween game. I've always loved the idea of wanting to pull out the old Ravenloft module and play that on Halloween, but
that's been kind of a thing in the past. Yeah, it's Halloween, let's play Ravenloft or something similar. Yeah, but we do a Halloween party at our house.
We do. I was there.
And when we do a murder mystery thing.
I like this one. It was simple. Uh-huh. It was very easy to get into. It was a very good one this time.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I liked about it, too. Mm-hmm. But it ends up being more funny than scary.
Oh, for sure.
Because we ham it up.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's okay. I mean, that's part of the fun. It's spooky fun. Right. So. Yeah, Ravenloft, Charlotte's shouting it out. Yeah, that's a great one, and it's good to come back to. We haven't played Ravenloft for a long time. I'm sure I could pull that I-6 and put it on the table, and you guys would remember everything. You'd remember a lot of stuff after it happened, but before it happened, you'd be like, oh, man, I should have known that. Yeah, so, yeah.
It has been many years since I-6.
Yeah, I like watching scary movies. It's kind of the reason I think tonight we're going to have a little shorter episode. I did it on purpose because I wanted to maybe squeeze in a scary movie tonight. But I'm a big fan of horror movies. I'm really more of a fan. This is truth. I'm getting less into the ones that are more about, like, I don't care for the blood and gut stuff that much anymore. I'll watch it, but it's not really my thing. I really prefer monster movies.
Say that again.
I said, I prefer monster movies, monster horror movies. Like, I liked,
those can often be all blood and guts too. Like zombie movies.
True. But I kind of like just like the big, the monster, but yeah, I guess that it can be blood and guts. Maybe it's not blood and guts. Slasher is what I'm thinking of. Slasher.
Yeah. So some dude going through somebody's house with a knife and slitting everybody's throats. Boring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, having some monster movies can also be on the boring side too.
Yeah.
It all depends on how it's delivered. I think your more thought-provoking movies that are trying to be scary as well are more.
I can be pretty satisfied with a B movie if they just have a couple of interesting twists to the story, like Dog Soldiers. We've talked about that a few years ago. That's a cool. It's like Aliens with werewolves. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. L made a comment. This is good to say this. He said, Randy, you got to understand 400 other channels have been doing the horror themed streams and videos for the past 31 days. I'll be glad tonight when it's over. Hate holiday themed games. Fair enough. Believe it or not, I was hesitant to do this for that very reason, because I know everybody's doing it. But, you know, I was a little strapped for an idea. So I thought, what the heck?
And we usually don't do holiday themed episodes almost ever.
I don't think we did a, I feel like we had a Christmas thing, but it wasn't really the theme of the story. I think we talked about what we were hoping for Christmas or something. Iron Man, I kind of agree. He said monster movies are more fun when watched with a group of guys drinking alcohol. I would say with a group of guys, they can be drinking or not. I probably won't participate. I might have a beer, but I won't be drinking too heavy. But it is pretty fun to have a bunch of
guys. It can be, especially if it's an older movie and you can yell at the screen and nobody complains.
Dude, I didn't know this. Remember the New World of Darkness that Monty Cook created? I guess it was 2004. I think Charlotte had mentioned it. She said the New World of Darkness had a slasher source book. The New World of Darkness, I'm trying to remember. Did Monty Cook, or did he just do a 3E version of World of Darkness?
He did a 3E version back. It was not very well received, if I remember correctly.
I owned it. It was not very good. It was a crap game, actually. But to be fair, most of his games have become crap. in my opinion. I like the parties that we have. You and your wife have a party. Our buddy Philip and his wife has a party 2 weeks before. We get two Halloween parties. I don't read any books usually. I might watch a movie. I don't rarely do the game. So I guess the most that I do is the parties for the most part. And the older I get, the less I care about dressing up, dude.
Right. So we have, my wife and I have looked at, not looked at. Well, we have. There's a couple of Cthulhu movies. I don't know if you can, except for the Reanimator. That's more fun than good.
Okay.
But there are a few Cthulhu movies, and none of them are done very well. But she watches scary movies all the time.
Yeah. Oh, your wife loves those, doesn't she?
All the time. When we're doing this, she's usually back in the bedroom watching a scary movie on her phone almost all the time. Every time we do this, she's always wants to watch scary movies when we watch movies at all. So watching a scary movie during Halloween isn't anything new, but they can still be fun. I like more older scary movies. In Cthulhu, as far as Cthulhu goes, I've read a bunch of it and listen to it in audio format. So to me, a lot of other horror is kind of tame in comparison. Unless you want to go with all the slashers and blood and guts flying all over the place.
Yeah, but I think monster movies are a different category. Like here's one that I love that's a kind of a comedy. I don't know if it's horror. It's a monster movie. Lake Placid,
yeah.
I really enjoy the funny ones. But
it has shocker moments.
It does, and it's pretty good. Betty White was in it. She was great.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a handful of movies. Like I said, you know, Dog Soldiers was one. If anybody's never seen that, definitely check that one out. That's a great movie. I don't think we do. I don't do much else for Halloween. I'm not a big Halloween guy, I don't think, in general. I used to be when I was younger. We used to be the one that, remember back in the day, about 15 years ago, we were the Halloween guys. We did the big party. We decorated the house up. Haven't really done that for years. Joe wanted to do a party. Philip wanted to do a party. We're like, dudes, take over. That's awesome. You know, do it. So.
Arn Man says, I have an expensive gorilla suit for Halloween, but I can't fit into it anymore. Yeah, that would be expensive and hot. Although today you'd probably be fine out here where it's cold. But a gorilla suit, wow.
Just on a side note, Joe, do you have a favorite horror movie?
Can Army of Darkness be considered horror?
I guess it can. Can you go a serious horror movie, non-comedy? Do you have one? I'm not sure you do. You're not a big fan of those.
I don't think I do.
Yeah.
There are some that I can say I like better than others, but someone else would have to tell me what it is and tell me what the name is, because I can't remember any of them.
Yeah.
Because my wife will say, hey, you liked that one. I'm like, okay. I believe you.
But it's not, nothing's memorable to you.
Not in particular.
Did you like Jaws? Jaws would have been a horror movie, right?
I had to wait and see that on TV back in the day when it was all cut apart and crappy. I don't think I've seen an uncut version of that.
Really? You never saw the original, like with the head that pops out of the bottom of the boat?
Nope.
Oh my.
I mean, not at the theater. It's all been TV cuts. I mean, I don't think I've ever rented it to see it, you know, all the way through.
Oh yeah.
I've watched it, but it's always been like on regular TV.
Oh, I have the special edition DVD because I just that is absolutely one of my favorite movies. I remember watching that years ago. My mother, I must have been, gosh, it was 70. When did Jaws come out? 76, 7, 75? I don't know. Yeah,
back in the 70s.
I was 10 or 12, and I was just, I'd been dying for months. It was in the theater for a year. Movies don't do that anymore. It was in the theater for a year. And my mom called. She's coming home from work. She said, Randy, eat dinner, get ready. We're going to the movies. We're going to see Jaws. And I'd been waiting for months and I just could not wait. And we go to our local theater and it was so packed. We got there in time to get a seat, but there were people sitting in the aisle. Yes. Alien 1 is a horror movie.
Yeah. Aliens is more action, but still a bit scary. So I could say Alien because I liked Alien.
I liked the first one quite a bit. And Aliens was more of an action horror with all the
marines. And it's a, and Alien is also a monster movie, but I think it was done really well. So yeah, thank you for that memory bump there, Mr. Max. That helped out a lot.
And the only thing, but back to the Jaws story, let me finish real quick. The only thing that scared me about that movie, really scared me, I mean, the idea of, you know, the music, dun-dun, and not seeing the shark, which was not done on purpose, but ended up being brilliant. There was a girl, a teenager, sitting right mm-hmm. beside me. She was in the aisle. They had people packed in the aisles. And she screamed when that head popped out. And I was scared more by her than I was the head. She's like, what? And I'm like, what? So, but yeah, I was like, and I love that movie. Oh, I loved it. Martinson says, what about Ginger Snaps? I enjoyed that for a werewolf flick. That's about two girls that I think are werewolves by birth or were they attacked. It's been too long. I do like Ginger Snaps. I'm a bit of a horror fan, but I like monsters. I don't like just like slashers. And I'm liking less and less the, our man's got a good story. He said, we saw Jaws sequel movie in a small theater during a quiet fear building scene. The Saturday Night Fever movie playing next door was pounding out Staying Alive. That's strangely appropriate.
That's
though.
Funny,
but funny. How about the movie? This was quirky. I think you saw this, Joe. It had half of the Alien cast in it. Near Dark.
Near Dark. That was good.
Yeah, that was a good horror movie. You know, Charlotte Williams says The Howling. I don't remember liking that much, but...
American Wolf in London, the old one, is, I think, better
fantastic.
Than
yeah. Yeah, but it's very different. The Howling's not funny. It's more of a serious... The end is cool in The Howling when the reporter is on TV, and yeah, that's pretty cool. So, Wolfen. Don't remember that one, Mac. That sounds vaguely familiar, but yeah, I'm more of a movie guy, less of a horror. I don't read the horror genre. I've read a little bit of Cthulhu. I'm trying to think what else I might read that would be horror. I don't think really much else. So, Sixth Sense was good one time. Yep. Oh, L named a couple of fine ones.
Monster Squad?
No, that's okay. That's not really my cup of tea. I like Silver Bullet.
Silver Bullet.
Lost Boys.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have seen Village of the Damned, but I don't know. I don't think I did. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't think I've seen Wolfen either, but Silver Bullet, yes.
Yeah. Yes, Charlotte, I believe that. She said American Wolf in London had a lot of the same special effects. They looked very similar, and I believe The Howling was first. Between those. Oh, that is the scariest movie of all, for my money, is The Exorcist.
The Exorcist. The Shining, kind of scary.
I left that up. Shining, yeah.
Shining Dead to me wasn't really scary.
Here's one that a lot of people like, The Omen. And I won't say I dislike it, but I felt like it paled in comparison to The Exorcist. Yeah.
Well, it's different movies. I mean... With The Omen, there's not as much sight, visuals.
Little Damien's creepy, though.
Little Damien's creepy. It's more creepy, I think. The Exorcist has more shock value because of all the stuff that happens during the exorcism.
Yeah.
You don't have any of that except in sporadically throughout the movie.
Rosemary's Baby. Yep. Yeah. I think those sort of movies, if you believe in... possession, demon possession, and things like that. They have a lot more oomph. And I do. I mean, I do believe in them. So I do believe it's a thing. I don't know if it looks like that, but it's a thing. Wow, dude. I'm not sure I got anything else to say, man. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. Scary. I like the tension in games, but I wouldn't call them scary. Not fear, not horror.
I like when there's a scene, even in fantasy, that's kind of horrific, but I don't really go out of my way to make a horror scene, I don't think. Oh, Martinson brought a great... This is one of my newer favorites, Cabin in the Woods. That is fun.
It's a comedy, though.
Correct. I do like more horror comedies, I do.
Yeah. Quirky. Well, Shaun of the Dead, like Shaun of the Dead.
Yep, Shaun of the Dead. Yep, not bad. Wasn't there a series? Was there a series like Shaun of the Dead and then something else? We're all connected, right? L says, This year's number one horror movie is Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. Probably. I don't care.
I have no idea. About.
No interest in Taylor Swift, but he's probably not wrong.
I know that those guys that were in Shaun of the Dead made several movies together.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're connected, except, you know, actors in the same actors, group of actors in different movies.
Oh, Dice Tales has got one that I bet Joe doesn't like. You don't like shaky cam. Do you remember the Blair Witch?
No. It's so jarring.
I liked it. I liked it, Dice Tales. That was pretty cool.
I heard Blair Witch and had a similar, as I've never seen Blair Witch
project. Oh, you should. Yeah, it's good.
But I heard that it had a similar vibe to it than compared to Paranormal Activity.
Kind of, but
there's lots of filming, but not a lot of scary things going on until the end.
But it strikes me as like a really scary story someone might tell around a campfire. I thought it was really good that way. Larry Elliott mentioned the scariest thing. He said, you can watch, if you really want to be terrified, just watch C-SPAN and realize the true idiots we keep electing to office. He's not wrong there. He's right. Not wrong there. But yeah, I'm with you, Dying Breed and Dice Tales. I like the Blair Witch Project. Joe probably wouldn't. Oh, Martinson answered the question. There's the three. It's kind of a trilogy. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and A World's End. I think it's just set in the same universe, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so, because they're all different characters. Playing by the same actors, but they're all different characters. Unless someone has come out with a way to connect them all.
I think he's saying because it's got the same actors in it. But yeah. They seem really different. I enjoyed those, all three of those, pretty well. They're not like... Shaun of the Dead was probably my favorite of the three. Yeah, but they're not really connected. He says they're called the Carnetto Trilogy, but...
But they're not a trilogy.
How are they connected? Maybe they are.
I mean, you could put them together and they're the same two main actors in it, but that's it.
Here's one that I love the concept of The Fog, and The Thing was pretty good. That's a pretty good.
I never saw The Fog. I heard about it.
Have you seen The Thing? You've seen the Thing, though, right?
I've seen The Thing.
That's really good. Oh, Mark Markham says, Cornetto Trilogy, there's the same ice cream in each movie.
Okay, that's stretching it. That's stretching it for a trilogy.
I guess. Well, there was the same ring in Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, that probably was the only thing that was similar in all three.
That was it, nothing else.
So I guess you would have to say that. No, because it was an alien. The end of the world is about an alien invasion, right? At the very end?
Oh, yes, I think.
Yeah, so you have a zombie apocalypse, an alien invasion, and then a cop movie. I mean, they have if it's like saying three movies that have ad placement for Coke are as trilogy. I mean, it's silly.
Hey, weird guy. I mean, they may have
done it on purpose, though.
What's up, weird guy? I ain't seen you for a bit. Thanks for stopping in. Yeah. Yeah, those are all pretty good movies.
Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, Twilight Zone episode. I don't remember that name, but I've probably seen it. I've seen a lot of the...
Yeah, me too.
Especially if it's an old Twilight Zone.
Yeah. All right, man. You ready to get on out of here? We had a short night.
Short night.
Thanks for everybody.
But, it's about scary stuff.
Yeah. Popping in. I'm going to go maybe catch a horror film before I go to bed or work on my adventure this weekend. I got to kill a bunch of player characters. They're fifth level, so I got to make sure they fight high-level, powerful dragons and liches.
I scared.
So, yeah, see? Scare Joe. Nothing from Big Geekland, right? No report on Big Geek Con 2, not yet. Look at this. I've seen this guy. He said, Weird Guy 5564 says, hey, guys, just found Old Swords Reign. What an interesting and free RPG. It's ODD and 5E meshed together. Somebody has been pimping that weird guy. What is his channel? I kind of like that cat. I don't know his name, but he's been talking about it. It does look like a halfway decent. Night of the Living Dead is playing on LOM, Legion of Myth? Is that what L is saying? Randy, Night of the Living Dead is playing on LOM right now. Hmm. I don't know. I'll find something spooky to watch. But nothing on Big Geek Con 2, though. We need to get started on that, meaning I do. And any emails or call-ins or anything, Joe? Probably not. Okay. Nope. Well, if you'd like to support our show, please like, subscribe, and share us where you're listening or viewing the show. We are on almost all the socials. I made some comments today on X or Twitter. I try to do that. We have PayPal, Streamlabs, Ko-Fi, and Patreon if you want to send us a few bucks. Yes, Weird Guy. Oh, hold on. Weird Guy says Adventure with Dice. Yeah. He's a pretty good dude. Correct. Anyway, but you can give us some money through those different cash support options. And of course, biggestgeekispodcast.com and the geeks at biggestgeekispodcast.com is where you can email us. And don't forget to buy some really cool games at Big Geek Emporium. Check that out at biggeekemporium.com. Anything else, Joseph?
No, I think that we are good.
All right, man. Well, thanks everybody for coming up on this spooky Halloween. You guys have a good one the rest of the night. This is Randy.
And this is Joe.
And remember, if you can't be big like us, then be geeks like us.